Well, the rest of us, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 1. Last week we talked a little bit about the names that were given to Christ, specifically Jesus and Emmanuel, talking about the deliverance and salvation of the Lord and God being with mankind. This morning, I want to talk about one of his other names that is given in Scripture. And it becomes important for us to realize that, as I said last week, these names of Christ that are given are very clearly demonstrating traits, characteristics, and actions that the Lord does. Obviously, him being with us and saving us, part of last week's message. Here we talk about light. And we find in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 79, as part of the ministry of John the Baptist, and the Apostle John clarifies, John isn't the light. Jesus Christ is the light. And we'll see that in just a moment. But what we find in this passage is we find one of the things that the Lord is going to do in verse 79 of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 79, it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time and opportunity to be here. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts this morning as we see from your word who you are and what you have done. That, Lord, we would have an understanding about the need for light in our life. And that, Lord, we would take this and we would apply our hearts unto it. That, Lord, we would seek you to be a light unto our path. That you would be a lamp to our feet. That, Lord, you would guide and direct us in every step of this life. And, Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody here today that has not trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that they would do that. That they would realize that they're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that the light of your glorious gospel needs to shine forth to them. And they need to respond. I thank you again, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that it would just be a blessing to you. That, Lord, we'd have a desire to learn, to listen, to receive, and to respond. And these things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage, we do find that the Lord is pointing out one of the most important principles of what Christ has come to do. And we realize that above all things, that men need light. Mankind needs light. If we turn to the book of Matthew, and this morning, dare I say, this is going to be a passage heavy message, because I want us to see from the Word of God, from God Himself, what this principle is about light. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 16 here, it makes it very clear that this is what people need to see, what people need in their life. And it says in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sit in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Again, we see that as Christ begins his ministry here in the book of Matthew, and as it's prophesied and talked about in other passages of Scripture, it refers to it as light, something that reveals, something that is truly glorious in its nature. And we're going to realize that here in a little bit when we realize that this is one of the main principles about Christ. Christ is light. And light is the glory of God. And when we realize that concept, as we go through these passages, we begin to see how the Lord has taken all of these things, all of these different writers, all of these different individuals, to show and piece together what that light looks like, what that ministry is, why that light is important. we find again here individuals that they need to see light. The Jews need to see light. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, he talks about them arising because the light is there. It's a prophetic passage that they needed to respond. He also says the same thing over there in Isaiah chapter 10 and in verse 17, similarly saying that the light is needed for Israel for them to respond. The Jew needs light. Today, the nation of Israel needs light. We know that for a fact. We know that they're going through some difficult times. We understand there all those things that are there. But the nation of Israel still has not received Christ as the Savior. And as I said beforehand, the Jew today, the way they respond to things is they respond in such a way that they don't think the Messiah is God. That's why they reject Jesus Christ. They think he's just going to be another man. And that's why they'll go straight to the beast and the Antichrist himself. And we find in this passage that he says the Jews need light. If you go over back to Luke chapter 2, in Luke chapter 2, another passage that we see that is often used this time of year, in verse 32, it says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So what do we find? We find that the Jews need light. We find the Gentiles need light. It goes back to what was said over there in chapter 1, so verse 79, where it's mankind needs light. Human beings, every man and woman on the face of the earth needs the light of Christ in their life. If not, they still sit in darkness. And when we think about the implications of that, we realize that people will be entering into an everlasting darkness. A lot of people don't grasp that concept of what that even means sometimes. That yes, we understand that there is a punishment for sin. We understand that there is a torment that is there, but there's also a darkness that is there. And while it is described as a flame, it's also a flame that burns without light, which to me is terrifying. It's terrifying. Those type of flames exist. I remember back in the day watching one of the Indy 500 car races with my father, and there was a situation that occurred in one of the pits where the fuel caught on fire, but nobody could see the fuel burning because of the type of fuel it was. It burned without a light. And the driver leapt out of the car, and he's like beating himself, and people are trying to figure out what's going on. And then one of the pit crew realizes exactly what's happening and takes a fire extinguisher. It burned without light. People that sit in darkness that refuse the light will continue to be in darkness for the rest of their life, for the rest of eternity. In the book of John, and turn to John chapter 1, we understand the importance of the book of John in John chapter 1, where it talks about who God is. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does that mean? Jesus Christ being called the Word, he's God. Jesus Christ is God. When you grasp that concept and we jump down to verse 4, we see it says, "In him," talking about the Word, "was life." There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Like, well, people live with, you know, without Jesus Christ, and I understand that, but it's not the life that the Lord is talking about. Right. It's not eternal life. It's eternal death. And he says very clearly in verse 4, "In him was life, and life, the life was the light of men." In order for men to have light, they must have life through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ said those things. You jump down here to the next passage, or to another verse in verse 9 of chapter 1 of John. It says, "And that was the true light." And I want you to notice the capitalization there, because that's him. That's our Savior. That's God himself. That capital L reveals, that's a title, that is a name of Jesus. And that's the name we're talking about this morning. Of the over 150 some names that they claim that are in scriptures, there may be even more. One time I printed a list of them all and I was like, whoa. Somebody spent some time going through that list. And just understanding how men think, I'm sure maybe one or two got missed. But it was a list. It was a list. Light is one of them. That was the true light, which light is every man that cometh into the world. This is God's intent. God's intent, as we find over there, as he says, he's not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He makes it very clear here that this light is there for a reason. Because men need light. And the Word is light. When we talk about this Word of God being a light, as the psalmist says, a lamp unto our path, a light unto our feet. I may have that backwards, but it, regardless, it's a light. The Word of God is a light. And what I want us to get from that is Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. That is the light that we need. There is no other light that we need. There is no other other way to have any other light other than Jesus Christ in our life. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. One of the most important things that we need to understand about why Jesus Christ is called light is because he is able to do this. He is able to give somebody light. If you've ever been in a situation where maybe there was a storm or you were out camping or something of that nature, and you've been in an area that is dark, really dark, and somebody says, hey, do you have a flashlight? Do you have some sort of a lantern or something so that I can see where I'm going, what I'm doing? Now, obviously, progressing too far out there, you know, in the woods at night with a flashlight is probably not the best option. Considering the predators that are out there, if you will, you know, there are lions that live in this area. We call them cougars. And what do? They will attack you because they think you're tasty. They do. They like people. And people are going to argue with that. But, you know, there's people that have been attacked by them. There's people that need to understand that they think you're food. They don't discriminate. Food is food. And there's people that have been attacked and they've been able to defend themselves and get away from those things. But I'll tell you this, there is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he does that in the darkness, looking for those people. Looking for those people. We need the light of Christ. We need him in our life. He is the only one that gives light. The Word of God is what gives light to a person. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 10, I want you to see this here. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There is a passage that if I was to say would be one to meditate upon, it would be that. Sometimes people talk about bringing things to light. Somebody is doing something that's nefarious or criminal or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, it's been brought to light. Some sort of investigative journalist finds it, or somebody finds out something, and it brings it to light, as the phrase comes from. You ever wonder where that came from, by the way? This book right here. Yeah, our English language is littered with those things. All sorts of references that go back to the Word of God. And people use them unknowingly. But what is Jesus Christ bringing to light? He's bringing to life two things. Number one, life. Eternal life. The life that is worth living. The life that he calls abundant. The life that when we realize how blessed it truly is, you're going to want more of that life. And immortality. People today are seeking immortality. I mean, we've got people injecting themselves with Botox and everything else. And people will sit there and they go, oh, yeah, no, hey, that's a cosmetic thing. Okay, look, I'm just going to say this. Botox is the botulism toxin. Botox. You are injecting toxins into your body. And your body is reacting to that toxin to remove the wrinkle, to give fuller lips, whatever it may be. Don't do that. I've studied those things. Botulism toxin was used as a chemical weapon at one point in time to kill people. And then the medical industry goes, hey, that's a good idea. Probably not the best one. Immortality. You had people cutting off their heads and freezing them. Cryogenics. Remember that phase? I just want to know if those people are still frozen. Because I've seen some meat that's been left in our freezer for a while. It don't look good. Something wrong with it. There was one time I was like, I don't know if it's still good. I opened it up and I'm like, nope. It's not supposed to be that color. Immortality. People are trying to figure out ways to live longer. People are trying to find ways of sustaining life and keeping it going, and they come up with all sorts of crazy things. You got people over here and they're all like, oh, you need to have all these essential oils. And then you got the people over here that are like, oh no, you got to eat meat like a carnivore. And then you got people over here, they're like, no, you need to be a vegetarian. And then you got people over here, no, it's got to be the Mediterranean diet. And you got people over here, like, no, you got to make sure that you're eating, you know, jelly beans all day long. You got, I mean, you've got everybody in the world coming up with something, right? For immortality. By the way, jelly bean diet, I would not recommend. Unless you want diabetes, have Wilford Brimley visit you. I will tell you, that is not something that is going to sustain life. None of those will. The only thing that brings about immortality, and if you will, brings it to light, is Christ himself. He shines light on it and says, this is how you do that. There's a drive for people that want that. What is that drive? Why do humans want that? Because God put it in them. And then God shows the light of how it can be done. It only can be done through the light of Christ. This is why the gospel is so important. I want you to notice that he says, it has brought life and immortality to light through the what? The gospel. Through the gospel. We've got gospel tracts in the back over here. Why is that? Because we want people to see the light. We do outreach events like Hometown Celebration. Why? So that people can see the light. We do Christmas stocking projects with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, where, praise God, 40 of those have already been delivered. 4 people have trusted Christ as their Savior because of those things. 4 people right now. 4 souls that are going to have life everlasting. Just because somebody stuffs socks, candy, and deodorant in a Ziploc bag. The light of the gospel. There is no other gospel. There is no other gospel by which we must be saved. I understand there's gospels in Scripture and they're for the doctors. I get all that. But right, what we need to understand right now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, His birth, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, all of those things are so important for showing life to people. For showing light. And life and light are so interwoven and so connected according to Christ. They can't be separated. They can't be separated. That's why the gospel is so important. That's why every man, woman, and child that has trusted Christ as their Savior should be able to tell somebody that, about Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. Every person can do that. Like, well, I don't know. Well, tell them how you trusted Christ as your Savior. Don't tell them about your baptism because that doesn't save you. Don't tell them about your church membership because that certainly doesn't save you. Don't tell them about all the good works that you've done because that doesn't save you at all. Tell them about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and how He defeated sin and death through the resurrection to give you life. Bring that to light with the gospel. This is why His name, Light, is so important. It describes what He does. I mean, that was part of Paul's commission. You go over to the book of Acts, turn to Acts chapter 26, and in verse 18, it clearly shows that that's what the Lord wanted Paul to do. I mean, here you have the ministry of John the Baptist, as we were referring to over there in Luke chapter 1. And what is he to be doing? He's to be bearing witness of the light to the nation of Israel for the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And what do we have here with Paul? Paul is to be a witness to the light, to show the light of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in verse 18. This is the commission that was given to Paul. To open their eyes. Back up to verse 17. Who's the there? How, let's identify that pronoun. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was his commission. This is what he was told to do. Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless, told, you're not going to go to the Jew, you're going to go to the Gentiles, the ones you guys hate. Wow. Why? Because Gentiles need light too. That's always been the plan. You go back and you realize that's always been the plan. It wasn't just that the Jew would only have the Word of God and light. It was that all mankind would have the light and realize the immortality that can only be found in God and God alone. You look at verse 23 of where Paul confesses this and says this very clearly, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Not just the Jew, but the Gentile also. Folks, God has made it clear. We're in a dark world. Again, you just look around us and it's pretty clear there's darkness. And look, I get it. But our hope isn't found in anything or anyone else save Jesus. We know what's going to happen in the end. We're not going to prevent that. And it's not to bring us down, and it's not for us to get frustrated with, but it's for us to realize that as the time grows nearer to the end, there is more of a need to show the light. There is more of a need to make sure that people see the light that is in us, not hidden in a bushel, not covered, but a light of Christ that's in us. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8 in verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. The light of life. That actually happens to be the name of a ministry that is specifically to Muslims. This is a guy I know that he's an Iraqi, and he has all of these churches that he's planted. He's got churches that are in he's got a Sudanese church in Egypt. He's got another church in Egypt. There's a church in Iraq. There's a church in the Kurdistan area. There's churches all over the place, and the more Muslims that trust Christ as their Savior, they're wanting more and more churches. And praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. As I've said before, some of the areas that are responding to the gospel at a very, just, I mean, encouraging, amazing rate are places such as Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran, of all places. They're responding to the gospel. I sit there and I think about that, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I've witnessed to Muslim people. I know what they believe. I get it. And you know what? They need the light of life. This gentleman, his father named that ministry the light of life. The light of life is Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, when you look at that verse there, it's very clear that in order to walk this life and in order to do what God has asked us to do, we need that light. If we're going to walk circumspectly, as we just saw over there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, which is one of the next verses right after it, we find that in order to do that, we need light to reveal the things. We need light to guide our paths. We need light to show us where we came from. We need light on both sides so we don't fall into the ditch. We need light inside our heart. We need light inside our mind. We need light everywhere. So what? So that we don't walk in darkness. And Christian, I will tell you right now, one thing, if you're going to call yourself a believer, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you have the light. Make sure that nothing is blocking out that light. Make sure there's nothing in your life that would hinder that light. Make sure there's nothing in your life that would diminish it in any way, shape, or form. Because I will tell you this, and we'll see in just a moment, people can do that in their life. People can do that. Take a look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and in verse 46. Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's not where you live. Don't go back there. Let's put it this way. If somebody was to give you a home and say, here's the keys to their home. The mortgage is paid. The taxes are paid for the rest of your life. Somebody will take care of the yard for you. You don't have to worry about any maintenance or anything. I'll take care of all of it. This is your home now. It is yours. You'd be like, praise the Lord. Amen. That would be a glorious gift. You take the keys and you go, thank you so much. And then you never live inside the house. The owner comes and says, I gave you the house. It's yours. You own it now. Live inside of it. You're like, nope, I'm just going to go ahead and live outside on the tent, in the tent. You're like, no. You'd live inside the house. But a Christian that refuses to live inside the house is the one that chooses to live in darkness and continue in their sin. And I will tell you, sin is darkness. It has always been darkness. It always will be darkness. And in a Christian's life, it is the last place you need to be found. Abide in Christ, not in the darkness. He has come as a light for you. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 6 it says, for God, who commanded light to shine forth out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what one of the greatest typologies of salvation is? And God said, let there be light. In the basic program next year, we're talking about creation. One of the greatest demonstrations of salvation is found in the creation story. And it starts with, let there be light. This is what Paul's referencing. He says right there, God. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. And he says, for God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, and that's exactly what he did. There was no light source available at the time, such as the sun or any other stars that were created at that point. And God said, let light be there, light exists, because he is that light. And he says exactly the same thing that happened with us. When he says, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And who is that found in? As he says, Jesus Christ. There is no other glory that is found other than the goodness of what Jesus Christ came to do. And here we are talking this time of year where Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He was manifest in the flesh. He was made flesh so that he would come and he would die on that cross for our sins. So that he could say, here's the light. Here's the light. There is no other glory more glorious than Jesus. That is the glory of God, as he says here. Knowledge of the glory of God. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Just like when he said, let there be light. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he showed you what real glory looks like. and is found in him. I mean, when you think about that for a moment and just light in general and its principles, and I know a lot of people today are starting to argue and they're starting to pick things apart. And if you will, I fully understand it to be something that is an attack against the real true science of God. Because there is science falsely so-called, as Scripture calls it. And there's a lot of it out there today. There's a lot of it out there today. And some of it isn't science at all. It's just fairy tales. Okay? And I will tell you this. There's a real true science. You start studying light. Just two main principles of light. Light is composed of colors, hues on the spectrum, wavelengths, right? There's seven of them. Now, I know today they're trying to argue because they're trying to take one out. But there's seven for a reason. And people are like, well, Isaac Newton, he just chose seven because he likes the number seven. No, God inspired him to have the number seven for a reason. And why is that? Because seven is God's number. How many spirits of God are there? We see that over there in Isaiah chapter 11. We see that in the book of Revelation. What do we find here? We find seven elements, if you will, seven hues. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Isn't it interesting that green's right smack dab in the middle? By the way, what color rainbow surrounds the throne of God? Emerald. Well, how is one rainbow just green? I don't know. Ask God. When we get up there, I'm sure we'll understand it. Till then, our little finite minds just go, pfft. We can't grasp it. He's Irish. There you go. No, not quite. But I will tell you, green right there in the middle. It's amazing when you start thinking about it. But there's seven on that spectrum. Remember Roy G. Biv? Some of you are like, what was that? Go look it up. But it's the colors of the rainbow. There's seven for a reason. Not six and not five. That's not a rainbow. That's something else. By the way, there's seven, if you will, properties of light. I haven't written down because I have a hard time remembering them all. There's refraction, reflection, diffraction, interference, dispersion, polarization, and scattering. You're like, what does all that mean? I have no idea. Go ask somebody that's smarter than me. Talk to Bob. he'll talk to you about the Planck theory and everything. So, but I will be very clear with you. There's seven, if you will, properties of light. Why is that? Because again, all of it points back to God being the source of light. Light existing before there was ever any man-made source, before there was any other source made by God. God was the light, and he still is the light. Turn over there to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is called the Lamb. He's referred to in the first part as the Lamb. And we see the Lamb comes back, not quite looking like a lamb. He came as a lamb. He was a lamb that was slain, sacrificed for us. But what we find out about that lamb? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, it says this, "In the city hath no need of the sun." What is he talking about here? He's talking about very clearly what he says in the very first part. Where in verse 2, where it says, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh. And what do we find in verse 23? In that city. It says, "In the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it." Why is that? "For the glory of God did lighten it." the glory of God did lighten it. And what do we find with that? And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb of God, Christ Himself, Jesus, Emmanuel, our Savior, is that light. And in that new Jerusalem, in that new city, in the new heaven, in the new earth, there is no need for the sun, there is no need for the moon. Why? Because the light is only from Jesus, the Lamb. But I'll say this. Turn to Job chapter 24. There are people that reject it. And if you've ever been reading through the book of Job, and you begin to realize what is being talked about here in this passage, in verse 1, it says, "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they know Him not?" Excuse me, "do they that know Him not see His days?" Job kind of asks this question about why are they rejecting? Because in verse 13, he says this, "They are of those that rebel against the what? The light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof." You know, there are some that are going to rebel against that light. There are people out there that when the light is shown, they refuse and they close their eyes tighter so that they will not see that light. They want to reject it. They'd rather stay in darkness. There are believers that sometimes rebel against that light. When the light of the Word of God shows a sin in somebody's life and it convicts them, it shows them the need to turn to the Lord, to put off sinful behaviors and to put on Christ, there's a rebellion that takes place in their heart. And they don't want the light. And as we find that as part of that passage over there in Luke chapter 2, we find that Jesus Christ came, as it is stated, to be that light. And when we think about it at this time of year, you ever wonder why we put lights on a tree? And somebody's going to say, "Oh, it was a pagan tradition." Please stop with that. Go back and check your sources. Well, that source, you know, okay, go check where that source got their source from. Because I have. And I dug all the way back. And it's made up. The reason lights were put on a tree goes back to the Dark Ages, when people realized they needed the light of the Word of God. And specifically Martin Luther himself, when he took a tree and brought it inside as a witnessing tool to his unbelieving friends, unbelieving Roman Catholics, he put the lights on there to show that Jesus Christ is the light that lights the world. That's why we have lights on a tree. This book is light. Jesus Christ is light. He is the Word of God. There is no other light in the world that is needed more in your life than Him. You need Him for salvation, and you need Him to live the life he has given you in the paths and the directions that he wants you to go. And this book right here, which is a testament of who he is, the light, will show it to you. Don't be like the ones that sit there and are unwilling to know who God is, unwilling to know who his days, unwilling to know who he's, what he's about, that rebel against that light and refuse to abide in it. Be a person today that responds to the light of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not abide in darkness any longer. Come to the light. Come to the light. If you're a Christian here today and maybe your paths are dark, maybe you're looking ahead and you're seeing all darkness up in front, I tell you, it's terrifying. There was times when I was driving up from Portland to the Seattle area, and I would be driving at really early in the morning, and I'd look behind me in my rearview mirror, and there was no other cars on the road on I-5 other than me. And I'd look behind me, and all I saw in the rearview mirror was darkness. That was terrifying. That was terrifying. Don't be that Christian. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Walk in the light of his word, in the light of his will, in the light of his ways. Let's stand for a word of prayer. To be in your word. I thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done for us, showing us that light, bringing that light to us, bringing to light life and immortality through you and you alone. I pray, Lord, here today that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, that if conviction is needed, that, Lord, we would respond. Whether it's the need of salvation or whether it's the need to turn to you and forsake sin, regardless of what it is, Lord, I pray that we as a people would respond. That we would not just take this lightly, but we would take it understanding it is your glory that is revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, you who gave yourself willingly for us. May we live with that as the heart and the mindset of who we are. I pray, Lord, you just continue to bless this time of invitation. And these things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.